Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vascon Engineers Limited Q3 and 9M FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Santosh Varadarajan, Group CEO, Vascon Engineers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Vascon Engineers for the third quarter ended December 31st, 2022. Today, joining with me on this call is Mr. Somnath Biswas, our CFO, and our investor relations team, Stella Investor Relations. I believe you would have gone through the Q3 nine-month FY23 financial results and the results presentation uploaded on the stock exchanges and on the company's website. Key developments in Q3: credit rating and likely positive impact on BG Limit. As we have mentioned in our recent calls, there has been an improvement in our credit rating. Equit Ratings has upgraded its rating in February to Equit BBB stable for long-term and A3 stable for short-term facility. CRISIL has also assigned rating of BBB stable for long-term and A3+ for short-term rating. This is likely to help the company in two major ways. It will help in renegotiating for lower interest rates and borrowing on our borrowings with the banks, and would also help raise higher bank guarantee limits, which is crucial for bidding newer projects and thereby improving our order book position and continue the EPC execution run rate. Real estate segment continues its growth momentum. As you may be aware that since the nature of the bookkeeping treatments given to revenue and expenses for real estate entities based on Ind AS, income is booked on a project completion basis, making it unpredictable in nature, whilst administrative as well as other expenses are recognized on a quarterly basis. Because of the time difference between income and expense reporting, revenue is not recognized in certain quarters. In contrast to those quarters where revenue is booked, the real estate business will generate a loss. In our real estate business, this was a major reason for volatile real estate performance in the past few years. However, since the beginning of the current fiscal, we have been clocking consistent revenue in real estate on the back of completion of certain projects. Our new sales booking in nine-month FY23 stood at 143,236 sq ft area for a total sales value of 91 crore. During nine-month FY23, our real estate revenue stood at 82 crore and EBITDA at 25.8 crore. The gross margin came in at 47%, while EBITDA margin was at 31% in Q3 FY23. We are hopeful of maintaining the momentum in real estate as we are witnessing increased demand in real estate segment as we are tying up with new realtors based in Pune, Mumbai and Kanpur. We recently backed our first redevelopment project, which is expected to generate a revenue of 249 crores. The EPC execution run rate continues. During the quarter, EPC revenue increased by 55% year-on-year and 6% quarter-on-quarter to 166 crores. Debt repayment continues. The company has repaid a significant amount of high-cost debt, which has eventually helped the company to bring down its financial costs during the year and has improved the cash flow generation. We are happy to report that over the past 21 months, we have reduced our gross debt from 71 crores to 143 crores as on December 31st, 2022, as against 214 crores a year ago. This, along with improved cash flow generation, has led to the net debt of only rupees 31 crores as of December 31st, 2022, as against 134 crores as of March 31st, 2021. Also, we are expecting better business performance and cash flow generation from the company by the end of FY23 and will reduce our debts going ahead. In terms of order book, our EPC order book has been robust. As on December 31st, 2022, the total order book stands at 1,625 crore, which forms 3.5x times our EPC revenue, providing strong visibility of EPC revenue for the next 2-3 years. Of the total orders, external EPC order stands at 1,321 crore and the balance 300 is from internal orders. Further, almost 74% of the order book is towards government projects, which provides visibility of faster execution and uninterrupted cash flows. Lastly, the GMP business continues to deliver sustainable performance in the past quarter as well. Revenue of 167 crores for 9 months and a healthy gross margin of 31% EBITDA, that is 12.84 crores with 8% in the 9 month FY23. Coming to the industry sector, in 2022, India's real estate sector made a remarkable comeback. The sector had few problems which aren't solved yet, as it continues to face major concerns like high input costs and rising loan rates. The real estate sector is rebounding from the pandemic volatility and is expected to stabilize further, with supportive announcement made in the Union Budget recently. As per the budget, the GOI has ordered to build infrastructure in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. The central government will establish an urban infrastructure development fund with an annual budget of 10,000 crores, and it will be managed by National Housing Bank and will be used by public agencies for constructing infrastructure. Government of India has allocated 79,000 crores, which was 66% higher as compared to budget 2022 for the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana, anticipating a further boost for providing housing to the urban poor. According to Niti Aayog's prediction, the Indian real estate industry would achieve a value of 1 trillion by 2030 and represent 13% of India's GDP by 2025. On the overall financial performance, let me start with the standalone numbers. During Q3 FY23, the company reported a total income of 200 crores as against 166 crores in Q3 FY22, a growth of 20.7% year-on-year. In Q3 FY23, EBITDA stood at 16.8 crores as against 36.6 crores in the corresponding period last year. EBITDA margin was at 8%. Reported net profit of 13.3 crores in Q3 FY23 against 30.94 crores in Q3 FY22. In Q3 FY22, the company included one-off item which constituted to 31 crores relating to a sale of investment in a hotel. On a consolidated basis, in Q3 FY23, the company reported a total income of 255.90 crores as against 212.74 crore in Q3 FY22, a growth rate of 20.3% year-on-year. The EBITDA stood at 23 crores with an EBITDA margin of 9% as against 36 crores in Q3 FY22, and the net profit at rupees 16.33 crore as against 28.71 crore in Q3 FY22. To conclude with, we would like to reiterate that the company continues to be focused towards building a strong order book, enabling the execution to continue at current levels, while aiming towards achieving net debt close to zero to optimize leverage position, which will enhance profitability. With this, we can now open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take our first question from the line of Dhananjay Kumar Mishra from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello, sir. Can you provide guidance in terms of bid pipeline for next 6 to 9 months and any order inflow expected in next 2 months in EPC segment? And also, second question is, while our debt is reduced to about 31 crore. What was the need of doing this NCD at 18%, which was announced today?
Yeah. So, with regards to the bid pipeline, see, we are bidding for a few projects. We have a little bit of BG limits available at present. On the one hand, we are trying to enhance our BG limits with the bank with a revised rating. That process is going on. And once new limits open up, we will be able to bid more aggressively to increase our order book. But, however, even within the existing BG limit, some old BGs have come back and we have a little bit of limit available. So based on that, we are bidding and hoping to bag about, you know, about 500, 600 crores in the next 2-3 months so that we start next year with close to 2000 crore of order book, or, you know, close to at least 1800 crore of order book in hand, which will help us, you know, keep our run rate going upwards even for the 4 more quarters next year. And next year, definitely with the enhanced BG limits, then we will aggressively look to, you know, keep our order book upwards of 2000 crores going forward. So that's the target. It has been a bit sluggish compared to what we would have wanted it to be, purely because of, you know, the BG limits not getting enhanced as fast as we want. But we will crack that soon. As regards the NCD, it's a small amount. It's an unsecured debt, which is expected to be a very short-term debt as an immediate capital required to fill a few tenders. Some of these tenders require, you know, huge amounts of EMD, cash EMDs to be put in while filling the tenders. We, you know, are targeting to fill at least 5 or 6 of these tenders in the next 20-30 days. And so we decided to, you know, take, it might be high cost, but it's expected to be extremely short term. And the reason it is high cost is it's completely unsecured. So we did not want to go into a proper banking procedure of securing debt.
Okay. So what is the current level of limit, BG limit, and what portion is already utilized?
Current BG limit is most close to 180 crore, and out of it, almost 25 crore is unutilized currently.
25 crore is unutilized?
Yeah.
Total limit is 130 crore, you said?
180 crore.
180 crore.
Yeah, non-fund limit is 180 crore.
Okay, okay. So for new project, are we getting customer advances?
that will be concluded once we get that become L1 and get the L1 or the terms and conditions. We are bidding, but whether that ones will be there or not, and all these things will be decided at that point of time. And normally, typically, most of the cases where it is based on Pune, Bombay, don't need too much of advances. That's because we have that sufficient capital equipment and all these things, construction equipment in hand. So the major requirement is once we get the tender and become L1, get the L1, then we have to give the performance bank guarantee. So the fundamental requirement of the BG is to provide the performance BG.
In terms of non-core asset monetization, which is given in the presentation, that is 9-acre land in Aurangabad and then GMP business, what is the status?
The 9-acre land, it is a notice already given that we got that NOC from the SBI to go ahead, which was stuck up for a quite a bit long time. So now that NOC has been obtained, so we are progressing, probably maybe within a month or two, this will be completed, the transaction will be completed. And GMP obviously will take some more time as because BNP is also stepping up in a right manner and it is doing a good amount of business. So probably most of the cleaning part and all this legwork has been done. So we are enhancing the value, and depending upon the tax team, we'll struck a deal with the appropriate valuation what we are expecting.
Okay, okay. And lastly, in terms of this year revenue, can we achieve 1000 crore? Because we already at close to 700 crore in 9 months. So, given the current run rate of execution, can we achieve 1,000 crore this year?
Yeah, it is obviously our wish list, but let's see how we can fulfill our wish list.
I think we are, hopefully we will achieve that, or maybe marginally fall short, but maybe we will achieve.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. My first question is on this pipeline, okay, real estate project pipeline what we have. Can you tell out of the 5 projects, how soon can we launch these projects?
In terms of the real estate project pipelines and the estimated launch time, that Powai and Kharadi one, that year number 1 or 2, likely to be launched within a span of next 2-3 months' time, as it is the last leg of the approval. So, expected soon to be launched. And in Santa Cruz redevelopment also, we are almost done with it as well. The society formality has been more or less completed. So, very soon we are going to execute the proper agreement with the society. And this 3 and 4 will take some more time, quite a bit advanced, but probably it will take another 5-6 months time to be launched, not before that.
Okay. And in Pune market, where we have the most brand recognition, or I would say, what type of products are doing pretty well in that micro market, and what are we doing to grow the pipeline in that market? Any thoughts on that?
So I think depends on the location. Since we are now operating in varied locations within Pune and Bombay, each location, the kind of product that is selling is different. We are doing in Talegaon, and over there, obviously, the demand is for lower cost housing. Whereas we are also doing in Kharadi, and then we plan to do in Bane, we plan to do then in Powai, in Santa Cruz. So obviously, in each location, the ticket that is fast moving is totally different, and therefore the product would have to be dependent on a market survey specific to each location.
And one thing, so for a project where the project has been sold, okay, and the cash flows which will be coming from that project in, let's say, residential real estate, what is the cost of funding? If we have, let's say, 100 rupees sales done, and this is going to be a collection over, let's say, next 3 years when the project gets completed, and half will go to construction, but rest half is... So what type of cost will it be? And is there a significant arbitrage if we have means construction, this real estate project we have, and we can hypothecate the cash flows? Any thoughts on that? Means we may not have to take that 18% cost of debt. So just trying to understand what is your experience, and can it be a possibility in future?
No, so I think see, we are getting unnecessarily swayed by the CD that is part of this board meeting, which is only a 10 crore NCD for a specific purpose, as I mentioned, and so our intention is not to be taking debt at 18% in huge numbers. This was a specific purpose, short term unsecured debt, which was strictly available. We needed it in very short term. We did not have time to go through bank procedures, and we intend to extinguish it also fast. This is specifically for EPC. Now on the real estate side, our strategy is to be doing joint ventures or redevelopment. Therefore, we will not be having land in our books. We will not, therefore, be needing any capital to procure land, which would neither be funded by equity or debt. And so our borrowing would be limited to a little bit of construction finance. What we would have to invest is a little bit of marketing cost initially to launch the project, certain approval expenses for phase one. And then we will be getting construction finance at very reasonable rate to tie up, and those will be very small amounts, project specific, which will again be extinguished within the tenure of the project, within a year or two as we move along on the project. We do not get to recognize revenue till the project is completed due to Ind AS. However, we do get to collect cash flows and utilize those cash flows. So normally, as long as land is not in our books and we are not funding land, to become cash positive on these projects is not at all difficult. Even if we achieve 30-40% sale, 50% sale, the cash flow collections that come based on the stages of collection, they will ensure that we are cash flow positive. So we are not So I don't think there's a concern of, you know, having to borrow at high cost to fund real estate.
One thing, the JDs, JVs, what we do, okay, what is the risk of inflation in these projects, okay? How do we minimize that risk? Because we give area share, okay, and if the cost of construction goes up, the profitability, this may be a novice question, but just your thoughts on how do you generally structure the JDs, JVs?
So you're right. I mean, the JV is either a revenue share or an area share. Normally, we prefer a revenue share model because, I mean, the landlord also generally prefers a revenue share model because he doesn't have the wherewithal to sell. So we have an escrow account whereby the stipulated percentage of collection goes towards the landowner and the balance comes to us. The risk of inflation is there. The only saving grace for us is that we do not end up selling everything on day one and then construct for 2.5 years. We do have stock in hand. We do sell as we go along. And generally, as you know, every real estate player in the country, we do get a bit greedy for the last few sales. Once we have secured our basic cash flows to ensure that the project will run smoothly, we do hold back a bit of the stock to be sold at a later date towards completion, because the prices that you can get towards completion is always better than what you will get at launch, when the product is almost delivered. And there are quite a few customers who want to see, you know, want to get their house within 2 months and not wait for 3 years. And the price increases. So we do always hold some stock towards the end. So that is sort of a buffer to help us in case there's been too much inflation. Then, you know, we can sell those obviously at higher prices because the market would have gone up. But having said that, inflation is also covered by us in our costing assumptions when we consider our construction costs that we will be constructing over a 2-year period, and therefore, you know, 5-6% per year, about 12% will be the cost of inflation that is considered in our costing before we launch the or we start selling.
And one last thing. This GMP technical solutions, which we want to hive off, and we have made our intentions clear for a pretty long period of time on this. What is the progress and any change of views, or we are very clear, and any time frame we want to have on this business of hiving off or whatever structure you want to do?
So there is no change in plan. We will definitely want to take an exit. It's a non-core activity for us. The management of Vascon are all civil engineers, and we have huge experience in building a brand in real estate in Pune and in turnkey contracting across India. This is what we understand. This is what we are good at, and this is what we will back ourselves to be doing. And we will not be, you know, bringing to the shareholder any other expertise because this is what we have on the table. So we do not want to be answerable on holding of hotels or holding of GMP where we are not experts. So there's no difference in the strategy. You are right. The strategy has been made clear, you know, more than 5 years ago. And in line with that, we have step by step exited whatever else we had. We have exited from a couple of hotels. We've exited from a few landholding parcels. Now, primarily what remains is Thane land, which we can utilize within our expertise of real estate, and what remains is GMP. These are two big assets. These are, you know, big elephants in our balance sheet, which we do not want to be in a hurry or in a desperation to just hive off because that's our strategy. We will definitely exit these, but at the right valuation. As far as GMP is concerned, the two technocrats running the company are definitely, you know, incentivized themselves and are focusing on ensuring that there is a steady, just like we have been doing on EPC in Vascon over the last 8-10 quarters, you will see we have steady top line increase, we have steady bottom line increase. So we want to achieve the same graph for GMP so that when we go to a suitor and, you know, there is credibility when we project a graph that, you know, this is what the EBITDA can increase to. So once we achieve those, and we are on track, GMP has been doing well over the last 5-6 quarters. Maybe another 3-4 quarters, if they continue that graph and we have a credible growth story which is backed by 10 quarters of, you know, what we have achieved, then we will take that story out and see what valuation, good valuation we can get, and we will look to get out of that.
Okay. Thank you from my side and best of luck for future.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Congratulations for good set of numbers. So my first question pertains to, you have already, clarified, the kind of order intake that you are looking at. Just to broaden that sense, what sort of, critical threshold of margins that we are targeting, because in last time, if I recall it right, you said that, we are looking for projects which can have 10% sort of margins. So any broad sense that the projects that we are looking at, because, we have, let's say, the BG limits which are not available, so we have to take some sort of cost element in terms of higher cost at which we are doing right now. So considering all those aspects, if you could guide us, what segments, especially into this building side that we are looking at where we can generate, 10% or maybe slightly higher margins. That is my first question, sir.
Yes, so that has always been an endeavor, that we want to be selective and ensure that we take a project on day one which we see there are margins, because once we've committed to a project, our resources, our bandwidth, everything gets committed for a period of 2 to 3 years, and if the margins are very low, then we are wasting our resources, our top management time on not adding value to shareholders. So we are very careful that we try and enter projects which we see margins in. One way we always do this is by focusing on design and build projects, because our strength is in design. And when we have a design and build project, we are able to use our design expertise in all engineering aspects and see, if we can make an optimized solution that uses out 2 or 3 percentage points more of margin for us. So the government is also now very happy to be floating tenders in this mode. A lot of departments are floating tenders on a design and build basis. So we focus on these. We try to back orders in this mode of construction, which is our expertise. So that way we are able to sort of protect the margins that we want. But having said that, see, we are up against competition. We might want to have double digit margins, and that will definitely be the goal as we increase our top line. Hopefully our PBT will reach that 10% on the EPC segment next year. For that, we will have to be at 15% gross at the project level, which is what we aim, which so far we've been fairly successful in doing, is what I could say.
Okay. And, sir, I hope that this year we are going to close the year on EPC side close to 600 crore kind of run rate, for this year. What sort of guidance that you could put in, because you already indicated that, the closing order book could be to the tune of 1800 to, let's say, 2000 crores. And can we expect, the number to substantially go up next year? Because, if we go through the budget documents also, which is putting a lot of thrust on, the infrastructure side where the huge sum has been allocated, and I am genuinely seeing, most of the one side the government is indicating huge budgets, but the people like you, and even I would not name, but I know a lot of your competitors who are doing the similar business are also struggling for these BG limits. It's not only you who is struggling right now. I can name 10 people who are struggling for the same problem right now. So, what is that which is, prohibiting these banks? Because this is really, I need to understand, because it's not a problem of Vasco, and it is a problem of all those, EPC contractors who are struggling to get BG limits from banks right now. So that is really something which is, you people should, come together and fight with the system, because that is not your own alone problem. And because of this, I am seeing that all of you are just handling back your hands to, go aggressively and bid for orders and work good for the country. So this is something which is really, I'm not able to understand and appreciate, that one side there is huge push which is coming from the government, and on the other side, banks are blocking their hands and not lending to the sector so that, this can flourish. So how this game will be accomplished? So if you could just throw some sense, because since you are a veteran in this industry, could help us to understand that.
So I would, you know, I was very happy to hear what you said, because you got it spot on. It's not that the contractors do not meet and discuss this. You got it absolutely spot on. The government wants to push. They announce in every budget, and there is intention from, you know, so many governments and so many divisions to construct. But barring a couple of, you know, extremely big business houses who are able to secure their BG limits through various assets that they have, most of the mid-level contractors are struggling to get BG limits from the banks, because the banks view EPC as a negative sector for whatever reason. They've also gone through their own set of troubles with this sector in the past 2 years. There have been encashments, and so the banks have made it much tougher. They want huge margins. They are not ready to give easy limits, and they want huge collateral. Now, whether to view this as a good or a bad is something which, you know, we are also confused on, because let's be very clear. These BG papers are always a risk on my balance sheet and the bank's balance sheet at the cost of the client. Now, I am not very happy putting these BGs up either. You know, why do I have to put so many papers up to a client just to take a job from him, whether he's a government or a private client? And these papers seem like easy papers to put up on day one, but end of the day, they're a huge risk for me. They're a huge risk for the bank. So if this whole game has to, for example, 2 years ago, due to the pandemic and due to struggle, the government did come up with a scheme that, you know, instead of 5% performance bank guarantee, they will reduce it to 3%. That was a good relief. We got, you know, quite a few projects where we were able to only give 3% of performance bank guarantee. Now they have lifted those limits back to 5%. This, exactly what you said, is happening. The government will realize that contractors are not able to participate the way they want to participate in the growth story because of these stumbling blocks. Now something will give way. Either the banks will have to, you know, make it a bit easier for us to procure these limits, or the clients would have to expect lesser guarantees on these projects, because otherwise the story that is going, you know, it will not be able, you know, it will not happen. What the government wants will not happen. So you're absolutely right. Something has to give in this. I hope the client, which is the government sector, generally doesn't ask for so many guarantees, because that will make it easier. Because if the banks give it easily, you know, it sort of solves the short-term thing, but the risk remains on my balance sheet.
Got it, because just a 10-11%, 12% margin business, and on that, so much of struggle
exactly.
BGs exactly. And the cost, if that gets built up, where the few companies will earn money. So that's really sad. And I recently heard L&T Concall also, where they're talking about we moved out of bidding from road projects because we don't see any margin threshold which is there in that entire business. And our country is saying we'll build, you know, highest ever roads. So if the builder is not getting what he deserves, then how can we expect the quality to come through? That's really sad.
Absolutely, that is there. I mean, see, I think, but having said that, you know, there are a few, I mean, the governments keep learning step by step, and if there is an intent, you know, I think step by step problems do get solved. Like I said, in COVID, they immediately realized and they brought down the limit to 3%. Now they have made it 5, but I think sooner or later, the government will realize that at, you know, the kind of bank guarantees for advances and performance that they expect, project will not get delivered. Secondly, one good thing, as I said, is the government has been giving a lot of projects on design and build mode. So I think there is a learning there that design and build is where they are able to get the best price for the taxpayers and the best quality for the taxpayers, and they are able to incentivize the contractor to, you know, probably use his skills and make some money as well. So it is a win-win solution with more than the private. I am seeing the government has learned, and the government is getting tenders in this mode, so which is encouraging. So hopefully the government will react fast enough to, you know, sort of address this BG issue. As I said, I mean, one way to address it is for them to talk to the banks and say, you know, help the EPC sector out. But I would rather they address it by saying, okay, let's ask for lesser guarantees in the first place. Why put so much up? You know, let's see. But in the meantime, you know, in the meantime, we are too small to fight that battle. We keep, of course, we keep putting up in all forums that, you know, this is a problem for at the country level. But in the meantime, we are hoping to secure 50-70 crore of legal limits ourselves so that we continue to keep our 20% growth story alive.
Yeah, got it, sir. And the only reason, you know, we are looking at your company is that there are hardly any balances which are having this kind of debts. You know, we are almost virtually debt-free, and if we'll talk about the Thane land and the land bank that we are holding, you know, it's a surplus, probably the paper liquidity right now, but once you monetize, it will be a net liquidity to the company. That is the whole purpose to look at from that perspective, that we have got a lot of inherent value which will be realized over a period of time. So just to get a sense on my question which I asked on the first part, the next year kind of, you know, the growth that you are looking at, you know, broadly and as per your, I am not saying that give us the exact number, but the kind of some ballpark indication, 20% growth or 30% growth that you are looking at for next year would be really helpful. And on a console level, what sort of margin that you are looking at? I got a sense on the EPC side, but the other real estate is hopefully on the higher margin side, and again your GMP is on a lower margin side. So console, what is the ballpark target that you are putting for next year? If you could guide us, it will be helpful, sir.
Sure. So, yeah, I appreciate you you know, highlighted that our debt is very low. We've worked very hard on that over the last 3-4 years in spite of Corona to ensure we come to close to zero debt level. We were quite high 3 years ago, and so we're very happy that, you know, in spite of tough times, we've reached here. This helps us, you know, even with bottom line, because the interest cost is now drastically low. But having said that, while that is from a balance sheet point of view a very good reason to hold our stock, let me also reiterate to you, we are at a position where we are not a very big company, so it is still easy for us to keep our growth story alive. And secondly, as I said, design-build mode of contracting is becoming more and more popular from the client side, and that is where our strength is. We are in the top 3-4 contractors in the country who can offer competitive bids on a design and build. And so we are very bullish that to keep our growth story alive and deliver and keep making the double-digit margin for our shareholders is not going to be a big challenge. The only small challenge as of now is the BG, which, as we already discussed, will hopefully pan out in our favor soon. And and to answer your second question, guidance for next year, see what we've been growing. This year was, of course, abnormal growth, I would say, compared to last year, because all the pent-up growth that was pending for Corona and all that has got unleashed now. We were to be doing 500 last year, we didn't, and now finally we will be doing close to 600 or plus 600 this year. And then from next year, my guideline would be in the range of, you know, 20%. We should target to continue our growth story for the next year at least. And then we will revise our outlook for the year after that, depending on the BG limit. Because if the BG limits are sorted and I have 100 crore extra BG limits, then even I can look at 30% growth also by booking a bit more order, because our capacity to deliver is there upwards of 1,000 crores. So we are still performing under our capacity in terms of assets and senior staff bandwidth. So we will reach there very soon, and then, you know, we'll take it forward from there.
Okay, and putting real estate together, you know, because I hope that this year will be close to all put together 1,000 crore on a console basis. So how that is going to look like next year, broadly on the, including real estate side? Because that is what we are aware that what we are going to deliver next year on real estate side.
So all three, see, I'll tell you, real estate over the next 3-4 years is set to grow like EPC has suddenly grown. Real estate, we have a separate team fully focused on ensuring that real estate grows in a cautious manner without, obviously without buying land in the next 3-4 years. So we are working on lining up projects. There are at least 4-5 new projects that are being lined up. But the real estate revenue recognition will always come with a lag. So you can expect that in the next 4 years, we will have, you know, on an average at least 200 crore, 250 crore of real estate recognition, in fact, 300 crores of real estate recognition in our book over the next 4 years, per year, average. But what exactly will come next year depends on project completion. We've had 3 or 4 completions this year, so we have some revenue recognition. Next year, the real estate revenue recognition might take a backseat, but it will come the year after. So if you want to plot it out over the next 4 years, we will definitely have easily on an average 250 to 300 crore of real estate per year. EPC will continue to grow at 20%, and GMP will also continue to grow at 20%. So yes, 1,000 crore this year should look at 1,200 next year, and so on and so forth. But as I said, the only qualification I would like to make is because of AS 7, you know, real estate might not come onto the book. Then so this projection might look off, but in general, it will be happening.
Got it, got it. Got it, sir. Thank you very much and all the very best, sir, for your good performance going ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. We take the next question from the line of Rahil Shah, individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. My question was on the lines of the margins as well, and I believe sir has explained that very well, so I would not like to repeat. Thank you and good luck.
I would also like to just, you know, in this time since we're discussing margins, to point out that this three quarters, and we don't expect anything in the fourth quarter as well, this year, whatever PBT, PAT, EBITDA, whatever we see, is entirely operational. Not a single crore out of that has come from one-off sales. Because the case last year, our profit last year was, you know, by way of selling an asset. This year, whatever we see is from both real estate, GMP and EPC, from all three divisions, pure hard work, profit coming from operating margins.
That's quite helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Sushar Shanta from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to understand, how do you look at the profitability of real estate business? Because what I see is your annual sale rate is around 100 crores and quarterly overhead seem to be around 5-6 crores. So, you know, how does one look at profitability of this business, if you can explain it?
Yes, it's a good, and I'm glad you
asked the pipeline is huge, but...
you're right, you're right. I'm very glad you asked
the question. Current business seems to be very high.
No, you're right, you got the numbers right. We are at about a 20 crore per year overhead, theoretically, and therefore, 100 crore is only a break-even, you know, top line for real estate. This was where EPC was struck at 300 crore 3 years ago. If we do 300 crores in EPC, we just break even. When we do 600 crores, we see the PBT. Similarly, real estate will only see their profits when they cross, you know, 200 crores of top line. So that's why I said we're working very hard to ensure that we are well above 200 crore of top line delivery in real estate sector alone. Then that will more than cover for these overheads. Otherwise, we will break even. At 100 crores, we will break even in real estate. So you got it bang on. The second point to answer your question, we are looking at real estate as glorified EPC. In EPC, we are looking to get 15% gross profit, which will translate to 9-10% PBT. In real estate, we look to get 25% gross profit, which will therefore hopefully translate to 15% PBT down the road when we do, you know, 200-250 crores per year. So that is the only difference. It is still, you know, harnessing our construction and design strength, adding a little bit of sales and marketing. We are not looking at huge financing costs because those would be on either, you know, through partnership from someone, if there is equity from someone, or we are not even looking at land costs because that share is to the landowner. So what we are focusing on is one third of the real estate story, which is construction, design, build, marketing, sales. That is the story we are focusing on. So in that city, I think, you know, 25% gross profit is what we could expect. And that hopefully will translate to about 15%.
What would be profit sales guidance for next 2-3 years in real estate? What kind of project could
we
go next year?
As I said, if we take a 4-year period starting from next year, then definitely we will do more than 1,000 crores in that period. Now, how much of it hits quarter on quarter is very difficult to predict at this point because we are lining up new projects. To be honest, next year we might not be finishing many projects. This year we are finishing at least 3 of our old projects, which means next year we might not have any completion certificates coming in except maybe 1 or 2 small projects. And therefore, while we will be doing a lot of hard work, collecting a lot of real estate cash flows as well,
that we will not be seeing revenue recognized. But if you look at a four-year period, we will definitely do more than 1,000 crore. I'm giving a conservative estimate here. We will do more than 1,000 crore of real estate revenue to Vascom. And over a four-year period, that translates to, on an average, 250 per year. And if we do 250 per year, we will definitely see healthy, PBT from the real estate division.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone for participating and taking interest in our company. And I'll see you again next quarter with hopefully even a better set of results. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Vascon Engineers Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.